Now read from the Bible. Genesis chapter 24, verses 1 through 52. Genesis chapter 24, verses 1 through 52. The recitation will be verses 1 through 4 and 50 through 52. Now I'll read. Verses 1 through 4. Abraham was now very old, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. He said to the senior servant in his household, the one in charge of all that he had, put your hand under my thigh. I want you to swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I am living. But will go to my country and my own relatives and get a wife for my son Isaac. Verses 50 through 52. Laban and Bethuel answered, this is from the Lord. We can say nothing to you one way or the other. Here is Rebekah. Take her and go, and let her become the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has directed. When Abraham's servant heard what they said, he bowed down to the ground before the Lord. Please allow me to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you are doing and the opportunity to be able to worship you as we're gathered here today. We know that that in itself is a miracle. And it is also a form of your grace, and so we're very thankful. Allow us, Lord, to keep our hearts turned towards you and to listen to hear what Jesus is saying to us. Please open the spiritual eyes and ears of our hearts, and may the Holy Spirit work abundantly. Allow us to have wisdom. With gratitude, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to be able to worship with all of you again today. Today is Mother's Day, isn't it? You knew that, right? If your mother is still alive, I hope that you will be able to express your gratitude toward her in the form of maybe words or a present or something. If unfortunately she has already passed away, I hope you'll be able to maybe go to her gravesite and present flowers or clean the gravesite. If that's not a possibility, I hope that you can at least remember the memories you had of her and to thank God for giving her and you life. In Japan, a long time ago, there was a story about a boy born from a peach or bamboo. But probably not amongst you people today. There's nobody born of such a thing, right? Last week, actually, after the service, there were announcements about a person working in Africa to deal with pregnant women there. And in Japan, there's a lot of people who are pregnant as well. But in Africa, when people are pregnant and give birth, sometimes they actually lose their life in the process, or the child dies as well. And that's 10 more times than the death rate here in Japan. So when you think about the person giving birth and the person being birthed, you can realize that that is really a life-risking event, and we can think about that. Especially when a birth is given to a child who, a child who doesn't make it, that's very difficult. This is a pain that, unfortunately, men can never understand. But if you try to think about this, if somebody gave an example of trying to get a watermelon through the size of a apple or something. Anyway, you can just realize how this is very difficult. And we can realize, though, that that is how we all came into this world. There is a story called Anpan and Anpanman in character in Japan. It's a very famous cartoon, and the person by the name of Takashi Yanase was a creator of a poem about this character. He says, "We have come here, you know, us people live on earth, and how many people do we come to meet when we're living here? You may seem to be countless number, but actually we only meet a select few when we're here alive. And amongst those, the ones that we actually are happy to have met and excited to have met may be limited, but even if it's just one person, we can be very happy to have the opportunity to live with that person here in this world at the same time and in the same space. And I would like to thank people who have made a difference in my life like that." So that was his poem, just the conveying his gratitude to the people that have made a huge difference in his life. If these types of words are expressed between children and parents or between spouses, you can see how that would have a very positive impact on their lives. In today's passage, actually, we're looking at a man and woman and how they are going to become married. We're looking at how they came to meet each other and how there was a faithful servant who was used by God in order to enable that to happen. Let's look at that and learn from it today. Verse 1, it says, Abraham was now very old. At this time, Abraham was actually 140 years old. So that is quite old. And it says, the Lord blessed him in every way. You can see that he was financially blessed and in health as well. And also spiritually too. You can see that in all ways, the Lord had blessed Abraham and that he was quite old. The reason is that because of the Abraham covenant that he made with God when he was 75 years old, God had promised to bless him. He said he would bless him immensely. And that, according to that promise, you can see just how the Lord really had blessed Abraham in many ways. However, for Abraham, there was one very huge concern that he would have still had at this, and that was that his oldest son still wasn't married yet, so he was concerned whether he would have descendants or not. He was already 40 years old, but had no wife. Based off of this, in his character, you can tell that Isaac wasn't the kind of person who was just going to go out and look for a wife. And so the situation may have been that he wasn't going to get married. So Abraham possibly would have been concerned about this. Abraham, it says that he contacted a servant that he had trust in him with his finances. And it said that this was the servant Eliezer of Damascus. This is the person who Abraham entrusted to find a wife for his son. You can see just how trusted the servant must have been for Abraham to leave such an important task up to. As a form of a covenant, you can see in verse 2 where it says, he said to the senior servant in his household, the one in charge of all he had, put your hand under my thigh. And this put your hand under my thigh part here is referring to a part of the covenant he had with God and the concept of circumcision and how he's asking him to put his hand by his thigh, which is implying that this is a very serious covenant. It says, I want you to swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth. Here you can see that he is wanting this servant to find a wife for Isaac amongst the daughters of specific people there. and he's wanting them to find a specific wife from amongst the daughters of the Canaanites. And he doesn't want any of the idol worshippers or that type of people to become involved in his descendants. So he's very specific. The second point is that he wants to have his own family selected from the candidates for a wife. So he's asking to go to see them. In Genesis chapter 22, it's talking about how Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac, but from God's supernatural intervention, that didn't happen. After that, it states that after these things happened, the following things were told to Abraham. And in that way, you can see how Rebecca's name was mentioned. You can see God was preparing her to be Isaac's wife in a distant land where his relatives were living. Then that information was passed on to Abraham, and that is where Abraham instructed his servant to go look for Isaac's wife. The servant had a concern, and that concern was, well, even if I go to this place to find a wife and I find a wife, but what if a potential wife, but if the potential wife says, no, I don't even want to come back, then what should I do? And should I take Isaac with me? He was concerned. In response to this, Abraham said, you don't need to do that. Don't do that. And the reason is in verse 7, it says that God will provide guidance so that it will be the promised land and the person will want to go there. He also said that Isaac was not allowed to leave that specific area. And so if the person you find doesn't want to come, then just let it go. The servant understood clearly the intent of Abraham, and then he went on his journey. You can see just how Abraham was very wealthy, and that was expressed by 10 camels and a number of presents that were placed all on each of the camels as he went on to look for a wife for Isaac. They were going through the desert, obviously, to do this. The distance was about 720 kilometers, which is very far. Because of that, to go on such a journey, it would have taken about 20 days. The servants left, and in verse 10, it states that they went to the town of Nahor, and he sent out for Aram Naharaim, and that is actually the Hebrew name for Mesopotamia. So that's present-day Mesopotamia, and that's where they spent the 20-day journey going to. When he got there, it was toward the end of the day, and near a well, he let his camels rest. Near the well would have been a good place to let the camels rest because they could get water. Another reason they would have been there is that in those days, it was actually the job of women to bring water or draw water from the well. So going to at a well would be a good place to meet women at that time. So the servant was very strategic in what he decided to do. Near the well, the servant sat down. And what is the first thing he did? It said, is that he worshipped God. Verse 12, he says, then he prayed, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, give me success today and show your kindness to my master Abraham. His prayer wasn't focused on himself, but focused on his master, Abraham, and how he was asking God to have Abraham's intent passed on. We can learn from this that we need to focus most on God and let our concerns be of second priority. In order to know what woman to find, he says in verse 13, it says that he was looking for a woman who would be able to draw water for 10 camels, not just for himself, but for these 10 other camels. And if the servant could find such a woman who would do that, then he would be sure that that was the one God had intended. This was an interesting standard to think of, because in those days, there was a huge focus on having hospitality for travelers. So to give water for travelers would have been something you would just done, you know, automatically. To do that for travelers would have been fine, but for camels, that's kind of going farther stepped. In order to ask for that, or to offer to do that, would be a woman who really had a caring heart. Also, camels drink a considerable amount of water. They've been on a long trip as well. One camel would take about 80 liters of water just at one time, 80 liters. And there were 10 of them, so that would have been 800 liters of water that were needed. In those days, there was no faucets coming out of a sink, and there was... And so you could put, you know, these days you can just put water into a trough or something. But, you know, back then that would have been inconceivable for an 8,800 liters. You know, and you can't just turn on the faucet. So women would have had to have gone downstairs to get the water from the well and then carry it back up and put it into this specific trough thing for them. If you look at verse 16, it says the girl was very beautiful, and then she went, filled her jar, and came up again. Verse 20, it also says she quickly emptied her jar through the trough, ran down to the well to draw more water, and drew enough for all of his camels. You can see that she was able to get sufficient water for all 10 camels. In this way, she must have been very physically strong to be able to do that. She would, in order to be able to just state that she could, you know, do such a thing, you know, she would have had to have confidence in her physical capability to do so. And the servant was very excited about this. In verse 15, it says, before he had finished praying, Rebecca came out with her jar on her shoulder. You can see how things, just as the servant was praying and wasn't even done praying, already God had prepared the answer to his prayers. If you look at the servant and what he was doing, you can see how he was always coming before the Lord, worshiping him. And every time something happened along the journey, he would always worship God and seek God's heart. In verse 26, it says, then the man bowed down and worshiped the Lord. Verse 48, he bowed down and worshiped the Lord. 52, the Abraham servant heard what he said, and he bowed down to the ground before the Lord. You can see the words bowed down are mentioned several times. And in Hebrew, it's called bara. And bara is actually an interesting word. When you worship God, when humans worship God and bow down, they bow down to God, right? And when God blesses us, using the same word, it refers to he blesses up. So we bow down to God, and in return, God blesses us. And because of this, we can see that when we are worshiping God, we can see how at the same time God is blessing us. When we worship him, he blesses us. And the servant was very well aware of this, it seems. He was worshiping God, and God was already at work when he was worshiping him. And it says that, like, he wasn't even done praying, and God was already taking action. Rebecca came to get the water. He asked Rebecca, you know, can you give me some water? And of course she said yes. And verse 19 says, I'll draw water for your camels too until they have finished drinking. The camels, and she's waiting until the camels have said, I'm full, and just keep giving them water until then. for 10 camels to drink about 800 liters of water. You would think about, well, how much water could she carry at one time? 20 liters at max, maybe? To have 20 liters of water, that'd be 20 kilograms of weight. And you'd have to, like, also count the weight of the container it was put in. So let's just assume it was just 20 kilograms. You'd have to go down the stairs, pick up, gather 20 kilograms worth of water, go back up and put it in this little trough thing, and then go back down. And you have to do that several times, actually 40 times, in order to get to the amount of 800 liters. When the servant heard this, she realized, wow, you know, this must be the woman God has chosen. But he was very cautious. And in verse 21 says, without seeing the woman, well, the man watched her closely to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful. You can see he was very cautious. He wanted to be sure that this was the right person. Verse 23, there's a question. He asked, whose daughter are you? In verse 24, she answered, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son that Milcah bore to Nahor. So actually, Isaac and Bethuel were cousins. And so from Isaac's perspective, Rebecca was his cousin's daughter. And Abraham had originally given the instruction of go to choose a person from his family. And in this way, that was confirmed. That was what would happen. Verse 26, then it says how he bowed down to worship the Lord. And you can see just how faithful the servant was in verse 33 as well. As you can see how later he would be welcomed to Rebecca's house. It says the food that was set before him, but he said, I will not eat until I've told you what I have to say. He'd been spent 20 days out in the desert on a journey, and you'd be very excited to eat, likely. So he would have seen all this delicious food right before him, and he would have been really hungry, likely. You know, what would you have done? Would you be like, well, let me just eat first, and then I'll talk to you, right? But the servant was not like that. He said, first, allow me to speak, and then I'll eat. Here you can see just how faithful the servant was, how he was most concerned about fulfilling his master's requirements. In verse 49, it says, now I will show you kindness and faithfulness to my master. Tell me, and if not, tell me so I may know which way to turn. He was saying, well, this is what I have to say. And is, you know, Rebecca really that person? And is this okay with, you know, mom and the older brothers? If that's okay with you, then okay. If that's not okay, then I'll just go and look for someone else. So the servant was listened to by Rebecca's mom and older brother, and they replied saying, this is from the Lord. We can say nothing to you one way or another. So they basically said, okay. In verse 51, it says, here is Rebecca, take her and go and let her become the wife of your master's son. Verse 52, when Abraham's servant heard what they said, that he bowed down to the ground before the Lord. You can see in this way how Abraham was able to find a faithful servant who did exactly what he was supposed to do. This is an amazing story, and the success of it was a lot in part to the faithfulness of the servant. Because he was faithful, he was able to connect the and find the right people. There was another big factor in this as well. What do you think it is? A hint to that is actually in verse 7. It says, partway through, he will send his angel before you, it says. So it's talking about there was this angel who was very helpful in finding the wife for Isaac. In the physical realm, it was the servant that was helpful. And in the realm that is spiritual, where you can't see it, there was an angel working. And who is this angel? It's possible that it was the angel who came to Abraham saying that this time next year, your wife Sarah will have a child, and prophesied that. It's possibly that angel. This angel was ordered from God to have these two specific people meet. And we can see how that could possibly be the case based on this. In the Bible, it speaks about angels at various times and how they do various things for God. In today's world, are there angels? Or is this just something that is from the times of the Bible? No, it's not just from long ago. There are angels today as well. In Hebrews, in the New Testament, in chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?" Here, you can see how it's intended for people who receive salvation, and that's you, those of you who have received Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's referring to us, right? And the angels it's talking about have been ordered by God to carry out His purposes. And it's seeing that we have angels working on our behalf, which is really amazing. In Acts chapter 12, it talks about King Herod and how he captured Peter and threw him into jail. He was going to have him killed. The church went to a specific location in a house to pray for Peter that he would be able to get out of jail. And it seems that an angel went to the prison and allowed Peter to escape. Peter went to the place where the people were praying for him and knocked on the door. And Peter said, "I'm here." But the people are like, "Oh, no, no." And they said it was Peter's angel. Which is strange, right? Peter said, "You know, thanks for praying for me. Here I am." But they were like, "No, that's not you." So you would think that it was an unfaithful prayer meeting, right? But the people of church were referring to this concept of somebody's angel, Peter's angel, and so on. And so you can see how there was this awareness in the early church of angels for people. There are angels for us as well, whose purpose is to help us. There was one woman a while ago who came to a worship service, and at the entrance, when she came in, she said, "Whoa!" And she said, "Wow, what is all this?" And everybody was just singing songs of praise. So I asked, "What happened?" And she said that in this room, there are a lot of white people wearing robes flying around in here. And it's likely it was the angels that all of you have brought here. So they must be here today. You can't see them, so you're just sitting there as normal. But if you saw them, you'd probably be quite at a loss. There'd be a lot of angels here. In Pakistan, there is a person working there to share the gospel, and he said that he saw a vision at one point in time, and that is that one man was going to commit suicide by jumping off a bridge, and he could remember that this guy was some guy who like usually came to church and always had a harsh face, and so he saw this village, he had this vision of this happening, and so it would take 25 minutes if he was going to go to this bridge to see if the guy was actually there, but he decided to do so. And he prayed. He said, "God, I'm not going to make it there in time." And he said, "I know that there's angels working on my behalf." And he just made up a name, like, "John is the name of my angel." And he just told John, "You got to do something." And so then he went to this bridge, and the guy actually was sitting there on the bridge, and he said, he said, I was about to just jump off the bridge, and all of a sudden I found myself sitting here. He's like, what happened? And so they were convinced that John, the angel, had must have helped him. Maybe you can, I'm not going to tell you to name your angel, but you can see how angels do work and how they are still at work today. And they are here to help us by the command of God. So this is part of the reality of the spiritual realm. We've looked at the faithful servant and how his angel, or some angel, obviously, it seemed, helped to support them meeting. We ourselves want to be people who can help others and to be helpful. And you wouldn't want to be a person that's not helpful to others. And you want to give credit to angels who aren't doing anything. So keep that in mind. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for allowing us to learn from your word, to think about the reality of the spiritual world that we can't see. We thank you, Lord, that you bless us and that you have sent angels to protect us. We know that you are protecting us in various ways, and we thank you very much for that. We can just realize what a wonderful world it is that we're living in with what you've provided for us. And Lord, we thank you that we have the opportunity to meet many people and share you with them. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray. Please let me to pray once more. May the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you this week and forevermore. Amen. We have a few announcements and we'll close for today. Please refer to the screen in front. On May 14th, Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, starting at 7:30, we have worship night here at the church. And you're welcome to join in and sing songs of praise and worship the Lord. And you can remember that in return, he will bless you. Anyone is welcome to come. At the church, every year we produce a calendar, and this made composed of photos from the photo club here. If there's anyone who has a picture they've taken and they would like to contribute it to next year's calendar for consideration, you're welcome to submit it by May 16th, which is Friday. If it is a good picture, it may be chosen. This is another prayer meeting announcement. It's going to be on May 21st, Wednesday, from 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. here at the church, and it's an opportunity to pray for global issues. Please come. It will be here. Information about women's group is going to have an opportunity for welcoming new members and new people to the church. It will be on May 25th. It can be men, women, you can bring your children. And it's the cost of 300 yen for lunch. Please sign up in the entryway if you would like to. And if you're bringing your children, please write their names as well. This is information about the world's mission. World missions, and how we have various missionaries sent from our church around the world. At this time, on May 25th, they will all be here in Japan. And this is actually the first time they will all be here together. They come back to Japan at different times usually. So they're going to give a report, and we can pray for them. And we encourage you to come attend this event starting at 2 o'clock p.m. on May 25th, Sunday. It will be an exciting time to hear about their testimony and to pray for them as well. We have the bookstore here again today, and there's two books I'd like to tell you about. One of them is this one. It's a book that actually was published a number of years ago, but it's now published again. It's called My Hiding Place, and it's by Corrie ten Boom. She isn't a Jew, but she helped hide Jews in the time of Auschwitz and Germany during the World War II. And you can see how there were many miraculous things that happened there. And when you read it, you can have really be encouraged in your faith. Another book is this one, Lessons About Aging, and how you can age in a good way as a Christian, and a lot of different hints and ideas. And it's in big font size, so it's easy to read as well. So these are two books I recommend you to consider. There's also, of course, some wonderful other books as well. Now we will celebrate people's birthdays this coming week, and we'll close. Anyone with a birthday this coming week? Even if your name isn't on the screen, you're welcome to stand up. Anyone? No one? Oh, we got one. Oh. What's your name? Levi. Oh, it's the same name as my dog. What's the name to Levi? Congratulations. That concludes today's worship service. Make sure you take your angel home when you leave today. We'll see you again next week. That also concludes the English translation. Thank you so much for listening today. Have a blessed week, and we'll see you next Sunday.